Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Mike, let's start here. Juwan Howard, as we found out yesterday, suspended for 5 games for the fight, the brawl, the brouhaha, the kerfuffle, whatever you want to call it, the Pier 6 brawl that ensued at the end of the Wisconsin-Michigan game and, you know, the fallout from that. And I'm going to say a lot of things obviously went wrong there, from Juwan Howard being PO'd by Wisconsin's coach for calling a late timeout with 10 seconds to go and a double-digit loss. He wasn't happy about it. And also, he didn't like the idea of being stopped and touched there by Greg Gard. And here's Juwan got suspended for the remainder of the regular season, right, which is 5 games, Mike, and also fined $40,000 for hitting Wisconsin's assistant coach, which was the thing. And I just want to say one thing, get this out here, and then I want to hear from you. So, you know, in basketball or whatever, like, I guess the cardinal rule or one of those things unspoken is that the head coaches should handle whatever rift they have, okay? Juwan Howard was so upset he didn't want to stop and have pleasantries or shake hands or whatever. And Gard decided that, no, stop you from walking by me. So he touched him. You know what I mean? He grabbed his arm. It wasn't an aggressive grab, but he touched him. And Juwan Howard took exception to that. And I think the other part was that the other assistant coach was yelling at Juwan Howard, which is the unusual thing that usually that's going to be assistant coaches stay out of the fray, right? The assistant coach's job, best job, Mike, is to make sure that the head coach doesn't, you know, if you pull him back or if he gets into it with an official or a referee or something, you're there to make sure that you can help the coach and secure him, not for the assistant coach to go after Juwan Howard. Now, in no way am I excusing Juwan Howard, because he's supposed to be the leader of men, young men, be a role model. And what he did by taking a swing at that assistant coach is out of line. And I'm not surprised he was suspended. I thought it could have been even longer. I thought it could have been for the entire year, Mike, even including postseason, if they make it or whatever, NIT, NCAA tournament, whatever, because he did have an incident last year where they had to hold him back in a brouhaha that didn't escalate to this blowout.
So if it's teachable moment for you, on guard side, it's now teachable moment for me. I'm not giving the turnover. I'm not giving you the ball. I'm calling timeout. If I still have him in my bag, I'm pulling him out of my magic bag, and we can both do this. That's what I got from guard in that. He goes, all right, you're going to play it through? Blank you, I'm going to do the same thing. And evidently, Juwan Howard has a really big problem with losing. That's one of the biggest things here. You have to teach your kids how to lose early, right? No crying, no whining. Juwan Howard comes off as a crybaby and a bad loser in all of this. Then we get into the postgame where Greg Gard tries to stop him. And he's looking, at least from where I sit, Rob, trying to squash it right there. Right? Just trying to say, hey.
He's trying to talk about it now rather than calling Coach, right? Calling Howard in a couple of days and saying, hey, man, I'm sorry you took it that way. Because that's usually what would happen, right? You talk it out and you move on.
Right. He's screaming, I'll remember this. Like, what does that mean? I mean, that's a whole other threat kind of level thing coming into this. What you're gonna try to do the same thing and call timeouts if you're burying us? It's not going to be in that situation. But either way, the point is he grabs him because, I mean, we've all done this. I have to believe in an argument, conversation where you grab someone by the arm. No, listen, we need to talk about this, right? Or hear my point. And let's just do this. Your point about the assistant coaches, yeah, his job is to keep the players in line.
Keep the players back.
And go do the thing.
Right, or maybe go grab the coach so he doesn't get tossed by an official. But he's not supposed to go at the other head coach. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
No,
that is not his job.
I would agree. Yeah, there's a lot of errors in this. If we're going to go through, it's Zapruder film and just picking out each person and deciding how much they get. Ultimately, three players get one.
And
game
obviously,
each.
Players getting in the fray as well. I mean, you're going to get suspended. You can't do that.
But that's just it, right? As soon as you see your coach. Now he's laid hands, and I equated it. I don't know if you remember this, the old Dr. D. David Schultz open hand slap to John Stossel.
Okay.
About wrestling and
Whether it was real or fake. Are you
kidding? You think it's fake? And then he popped his eardrum, and like there was.
John Stossel was a damn good reporter, man. I remember him. He was.
Yeah, so I mean, that was a big deal, and that's what it looked like to me. Eventually, Howard issues the statement. They get the first name of the assistant coach wrong in that, but almost a full day later, apologize for it. In the moment, it was family, protect family. It's like, protect what? The guy called a timeout when you were still pressing. There's not a whole lot there for me. And folks took it in all sorts of different turns. When it comes down to it, you got a five-game suspension into the Big Ten tournament. Whether they're going to the NCAA, well, they're going to have a miraculous run in the Big Ten tournament. So 5 games, 40K, I'm okay with it. Right, it sends a message. All right, you're on notice because Michigan's statement about it after the fact, Rob, was very terse. Right, there was no hey, we're picking up for our guy, whatever. It's like this is unacceptable.
No, right,
it's, right. They went hard. Wisconsin flat out said, hey, we're paying the fine. This is not guard's fine.
Right,
this is a Wisconsin.
They were a little too flip. Like flip it. Like, instead of just saying, this is ugly, we don't want any part of this, this is not college basketball, this is not Wisconsin, you know what I mean? And they kind of were like, well, we'll pay it. He didn't do anything. And there was a couple things on both sides. But I wish, Mike, that Juwan would have just apologized after. If Juwan came out, and I know the heat of the moment, but you come out after the game and just say, my bad. I snapped, shouldn't have. Obviously, I should never swing on anybody. Violence is never acceptable. And I apologize for that. And this is not the, I'm leader of these young men, and this is not the example that I want to, put out there for them. He apologized yesterday, but I would have loved to have just own it. You made a mistake. People make mistakes all the time. The late, great baseball announcer of the Mets, Bob Murphy, used to always say when I was a kid listening to the games, and a guy would make an error, and he would say, Mike, that's why they put erasers on pencils, because people make mistakes.
Well,
you know
put.
What I mean?
But that's real.
It.
But yeah, but I mean, that's also why you have a cooling down period before you get in front of a microphone, right?
Right.
Right? So Juwan Howard, in those 15 minutes, all someone in Michigan's camp, anywhere in their food chain, one person needed to open a social media account, and you would have realized how bad this was. right? If you're not smart enough to see it in the room, right, as there's a little bit of fracas going on, recognize the eyes of the world are on you. The NFL is done. The Olympics, nobody paid attention. I'm sorry for my friends that work at NBC.
Nobody.
Right?
I don't think Chris and I mentioned. I don't think we mentioned the Olympics at all. The entire 2.5 weeks it was on, or whatever it was.
Yeah, we talked a little curling, Jason and I, because it was on in our window, right? We're sitting there watching it, replays, whatever. And then you had a couple of guys that looked like they were straight out of Talladega Nights. And then you had the skating controversy, which I think opened up some conversation, especially once Sha'Carri Richardson made some comments of, wait a minute, she still gets to skate? What are we doing here? I thought there was some interesting – I mean, that was about the only point of interest, and it was all about Russian athletes being there doing things that Russia as a whole wasn't allowed to be in the Olympics for. If that makes any sense, try to unravel that. But yeah. More cheating, I guess, is the summary statement to it all. But here, the eyes of the world are now gravitating towards NCAA, right? It's the NBA and the NCAA in the final throes before we get to conference tournaments and March Madness. So, yeah, this is the first thing people really probably know about the college basketball season, is that your former Fab Five guy who had a great year last year, they're struggling this year, he got mad and he slapped a guy. That's it. That he doesn't know how to lose. That's the only lesson you've got from college basketball this year.
Yes. And here's the other thing, too. Here's the other part is Dick Vitale jumps in, and he's the one who of course, was sickened by the whole fracas that everybody saw, and it was one. You know what was weird is, I don't know, seemed like a lot of people were watching, you know, like than normal, because you know people don't pay attention. College basketball, I don't know, has dropped off. It's I used to watch college basketball. Don't watch it until we get to the tournament, and I think a lot of people are in that boat. But for some reason, and I guess with not much going on, people actually watch this. But then, this is where I want to turn this to, Mike, is Dick Vitale comes up and says, and I'm quoting, the time has come to eliminate the line after games of shaking hands.
Yeah.
This is quote, too many incidents taking place with the action in the, and he's talking about the Michigan, Wisconsin game, being sickening. Punches thrown behavior was out of control and ugly. Big Ten Commission must act on what happened. So he's saying, okay, it's been customary for a long time. It's about sportsmanship, but let's not do it because we got too many issues. I've talked to some former players on both levels, and I'm talking about college, who played major college basketball in the NBA. They say a lot of bad stuff goes there when people lose, and guys slap your hands a little hard or you know, kind of are talking smack, you know, during that line. You think everything is rosy and peachy keen and everybody's cool because the game's over. So they were more in line with Dick Vitale, which I was surprised, the former players I talked to. But we've watched, you know, Mike, I worked in Detroit, hockey town, and I've seen numerous hockey Stanley Cup playoff series where guys are beat to a pulp and fights and some bad stuff going on. And at the end of those series, those two teams line up, which is customary in the NHL, and they give each other a handshake after it's all over. And it's far worse than anything you'd ever see in college basketball.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
It is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio on your Tuesday. Rob Parker, Mike Harmon filling in for Dan and the Danettes. And Mike, I just can't believe how fast 2 hours of the program has gone by, and we still have a little space for some football to talk about.
Well, it's always football season, 365. We talk about guys staying in shape. We've got to keep our minds in shape and ready to go for the next iteration of the quarterback carousel and all of the social media sphere. I just got to take the moment, though. Honored to be here in the morning with you. It's been a long time since you and I have been able to chop it up, right? Obviously, our show's back-to-back here in the afternoon and evening hours on Fox Sports Radio. So, good to be with you. I love checking off boxes of working with legends. So,
Are you kidding me?
Hey.
Stop. Are you kidding? But hey.
The name has resonance, right? It's like Michael Jordan getting feeded at the All-Star game.
Oh,
I mean, I see you walk around Radio Row. Everybody wanted to come say hello to the Odd Couple, right?
Well, Well, we appreciate that. It just means Chris and I have been around for a long time. And yes, if you are listening, you could check out The Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and myself, 7 to 10 Eastern,
yep,
Fox then, Sports Radio, and then your show.
Yeah, and then Jason Smith and I, 10 p.m. Eastern to 2 a.m., leading into our buddy Ben Maller, who's with you tomorrow.
That's right. For people who want to tune in to the Dan Patrick Show tomorrow, as Dan and the Dennis take some time off, Ben Maller
yeah,
will be on with me tomorrow.
In the morning. Think about that.
Yes. So,
after they've maybe gotten a couple hours of sleep.
So that'll be fun as well as today. But let's get into it. And you saw the Instagram. I want you to get into that first, and then I'll jump in. But Instagram post, and tell people what you saw if you haven't seen Aaron Rodgers on Instagram.
Yeah, as he went through, it's a little photo montage and a thank you for folks with him over the last year. And I'll just read a little bit of it. Quote, here's some hashtag Monday Night Gratitude for some of the incredibly special people in my life with some pictures from the last beautiful year. He goes on to thank Shailene Woodley, former fiance, whatever their relationship is.
It's over. It's okay.
But we don't
it's
know
over.
That. But we don't know that. It could all be for show, and they get behind the scenes, they're still together. I don't know. But either way, he wrote, thanks for letting me chase after you the first couple months after we met. Finally, let me catch up to you, be part of your life. I love you. I'm grateful for you. Okay, so that we got that. And then the guys in the quarterback room. And then he goes through a bunch of teammates and folks along the way, the coaching staff. And then the last photo is the one everybody's making reference to, is that there is a picture of Randall Cobb, the guy that he brought back, Devontae Adams. And now there's a lot of speculation and leaning that Green Bay will eventually put the franchise tag on Devontae Adams, would give him about $18.5 million this next year. But there's an empty space in between, and that's normally where Rodgers would be standing, right? So lots of pictures of the trio from other games. And this one looks like the Kansas City game if you look at a couple of the jerseys behind them. So that was the game he didn't play, right? He was out due to COVID protocol. So he took that. But in the other photos, he's with the people that he's referencing. So here's me with my guy. Here's me on the couch with Shailene Woodley. And then the last is the picture of these two guys standing by themselves, which means everybody's getting into the world of speculation. Now, he's supposed to appear with Pat McAfee, or at least that's the expectation later on today. Gutekunst, the GM, is supposed to meet with the press, but evidently that was already scheduled before the Rodgers thing, but obviously he'll have to address where they're at in their conversations. But it now owes to the three ways of looking at the world, Rob. Is he a Packer? Does he retire? Or is this the goodbye, I'm on to greener pastures?
Yeah, that is. And David Bakhtiari put out a tweet of, is that, I guess Aaron Rodgers says, ah, blank, here we go again. And it's him walking down this, you know, like, is he walking away? Is he done? I'll say this.
Oh, the old tunnel thing, right? Is he out? Is he in? Yeah, he, exactly.
Right. And I'll say this. I think there are only two courses of action for Aaron Rodgers. I really do. A, he stays with the Green Bay Packers and they fully commit to him and give him a new contract and they trade Jordan Love and just say, we're going to ride this out. And for the next 3 years, I mean, he just won back-to-back MVPs. He hadn't slowed down. And I think the Packers, despite their postseason failures, still give him the best chance to win. He's in the NFC North. You know, the Lions are bad, the Bears are got a new coach, and the Vikings got a new coach and situation. So they're in a great division where they can, you know, win that division and possibly have the top spot in the NFC. And then Tom Brady retires in the NFC. All the great young quarterbacks are fighting, are all in what? The AFC. So I don't know about going to Denver, and that's going to give you a better chance to get to the Super Bowl with all those quarterbacks over there. Not that I'm poo-pooing his talent or anything, Mike. I'm just talking about sheer numbers.
I'll do it. He's a bum slayer.
Okay.
But I mean, you just mentioned playing in the division.
Right.
72% winning percentage against the teams in division. During his tenure as a starter, Rob, because I'm a nerd this way, the Vikings, 51.5% winning percentage. Bears, right. 47. Lions, 36% since 2008.
There's no doubt about it. But anybody who thinks that they're only winning because of that, that's fraudulent. Because if you remember, they went to San Francisco on the road, they won. They went to Arizona when they were 7-0 without their three top receivers or defensive coordinator, and they won that game, if you remember. So they won some big games and whatnot, but they stunk in the playoffs.
Well, obviously, that's just they got it. Knocked out. You're winning in the regular season.
Right.
Right? You got me from A to B, except for that one magical season.
But the other part is, I think it's either he stays in Green Bay or he retires. And I really believe that there's a chance of that because of, you know, they talk about he always only wanted to wear the Packers uniform. He doesn't want to go anywhere, you know, didn't want to play anywhere else. There's something about that. There's something, and I will say, like, Derek Jeter playing all 20 years with the Yankees, like, because I believe Tom Brady was supposed to be like Derek Jeter. You win your championship, you stay in one uniform and all that. It didn't happen, and he wound up winning another Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, and now he's done. But I believe there's something to that. So, and he's mentioned retirement before. So I think it's one of those two things. I don't see the going elsewhere part. I could be wrong. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I don't see the third as an option either, Rob. I mean, I'd love to, you know, shout and scream about it. And, you know, like, let's play the top five destinations. I can do that if we want to. And anybody that wants to put Denver first are kidding themselves. I'm not going to the AFC West.
Right.
Right? I mean, because all three teams can play. Right? The Raiders are going to be better. Derek Carr may not be great, but you could have a lot worse options than him as your starting quarterback. And unless we forget, they were playing meaningful football down the stretch. Right? So, I mean, if you're going to tell me, hey, maybe Indianapolis, I'll hear it. Because Carson Wentz wasn't the answer for me last year, and he certainly isn't going to be their answer going forward, looking at the division and upheaval there. For me, it's the Packers. One, because why would you get rid of him? Right?
And see, I'm with you. If you're ownership or you're the GM, do you want to be the general manager who traded away a back-to-back MVP? I'm serious.
Well, and I got to think, to some degree, Packer fans on some level are tired of the act, right? Because they got tired with Brett Favre at the end. But
that was because he kept pulling their chain every year.
Well, but I mean, at this point, is this not 2 years of Aaron Rodgers kind of pulling their chain? At least if you're reading between, because that's the other thing, is he hasn't said anything directly, really. He said a lot of stuff about the world at large, and we're not even getting into any of that
stuff. Yeah, but I think he said, I'm not going to have this thing drag out. He did say that.
No, and I hope it's fast, right? Maybe even or as early as today, right? As early as today, this could happen, as he goes on McAfee. But, you know, when they drafted Jordan Love, it might have been too early as the first round. But the point was, you had back-to-back years, he's had some injuries, and the last time he had gotten hurt, you had no backup plan. So Brent Hundley came in a season that looked like it was a pretty good squad that you could run with, fell apart. So in the 2 years before you drafted Jordan Love, yeah, you had the 13-3 season, but 26 touchdowns, 4 picks, 25-2. Good numbers, obviously a ridiculous touchdown to interception ratio.
Most people would take those are bad years for him.
No, but I'm talking
quarterbacks would take those.
But it's from the touchdown perspective, right? When we're looking at finishing drives, and we can always talk about run games and whatever else. And Aaron Jones was a beast then. But remember, in 2020, they took Love, but they also got AJ Dillon, who was instrumental to what they were doing this year, right? I mean, the part that's not being talked about outside of Aaron Rodgers is, all right, Matt LaFleur in big games. And maybe bringing in Bisaccia as the special teams coach will help fix some of those ills.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because football has a way of whatever you don't do, it always seems to show up against you.
At the worst moment, absolutely.
It just does. Like, whatever you don't do well, and you could say whatever you want about that. Obviously, you expect the Packers to score more points and do a better job offensively. But what killed them? A block punt and the missed field goal.
The inability to actually move the ball as an offense.
Right.
But that's a whole other.
But you know what I'm saying.
No,
but
absolutely.
Those are two big plays.
I mean, they're game changers. No question about it. and knock down, drag out affairs. Look, I always argue with folks, and this goes back to just the fantasy football world, Rob. Indulge me for a moment. Arguing with former players for a long time before they realized they were, A, making dollars off it then and can make more dollars off it now, B. But the idea that, you know, the teams are going to score most games. Right? You got very few shutouts in an NFL season.
Right.
And on average, even the best defense has given up 18 points per game.
But they lost a game in which the defense didn't give up an offensive touchdown.
They did their job. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's really a curious thing, right? And even during the regular season, they achieved without their defense being complete, right? Jaire Alexander, Za'Darius Smith weren't there. Za'Darius Smith's a whole other thing we haven't even gotten into. Right?
But they won 13 games, Mike. They won 13 games with the worst special teams in the league.
Yeah.
The worst. Not middle of the road. The worst. And they never cleaned it up. They never fixed it. But anyway, here's another issue I have, and I just want to throw this to you. I see people's tweets and what, Aaron Rodgers only cares about winning MVPs. Do you really believe that? First of all, he has no control over winning an MVP. Right? Tom Brady threw for a gazillion yards, 95 touchdowns, and got 10 votes.
Right, but that's it. You could have argued that Brady should have been the guy if you want to just have that argument, which I think at some point you just shrug and say, okay, that's the vote, and you move on, right?
Right. Mostly because I think people look at more. It's not just piling up stats. That would be the big argument, like even LeBron thinking he's the GOAT because he has more stats. Well, he played since he didn't go to college, came out of high school, and compiling stats, Tom Brady had the best stats, didn't he? But he didn't win the MVP because there's more to it than that. And my point is, I don't believe for 1 minute that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to win Super Bowls. I think that's ridiculous to think that a guy who's played doesn't want to win Super Bowls. Now, it hadn't happened, but that doesn't tell me that he doesn't want to win. Was he the one who botched the onside kick against Seattle? That was a Super Bowl trip sitting there.
Yeah.
There are other moments where the defense wasn't never there and gave up 45 points in a playoff game. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying these are facts of what's happened over the last 10, 11 years for the Green Bay Packers. And Aaron Rodgers hasn't had his best moments in the playoffs. We've seen some great ones as well. Remember that throw in Dallas? Remember that?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's throws, there's moments, and right? I mean, look, as you always say, it's wins and losses.
Sports has a short menu, wins and losses, period.
So that's what we have to do here, right? We have to apply it to everybody because, you know, going back to the thing I said about division, right? Everybody always wanted to cut Brady off at the knees because he played in the AFC East or least, as they would call it. But people did not do the same thing to Manning or Breeze or Rodgers, which has always been confusing to me. But that's fine. I'll just do a long blog article somewhere else. But it's just the idea for Aaron Rodgers that he doesn't want to win. Look, there's throws, and people can, if you go through the All-22, I guess you could probably see things where he took the safe throw instead of pushing it. Most of the time you applaud it, but when you're great, looking for that little razor-thin movement to the top, yeah, those are going to be magnified, right? I mean, that's just the way it works in all areas of business. You know, I go back to the seeding and taking the timeout. That was the only on-field thing that I've really ever gotten upset, and I've carried it with me now for 2 years, Rob, so I'll do my therapy session with you, is the fact that he went off the field and allowed them to kick the field goal to go down 5. Because he threw the ball 3 times. Right, so any madness about play calling with LaFleur, you had your shots, but you came off the field and you gave the ball back to Tom Brady, which I'll never understand. But,
No. But, the only thing worse than that move right there by LaFleur and that whole scenario was when Seattle decided to throw the ball into the end zone at the 1-yard line with the best running back in football, Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah,
I mean, with just enough time to run 2 plays, right?
Right, but I mean, you've got that situation, and then this with Aaron Rodgers, you got timeouts. You turn to the coach like, I'm not coming off the field.
Right.
You've got to have the clout at that moment. But for all of this, I think it's, at least to me, this is much ado about nothing and kind of needling the outside world. And maybe he just needed a moment of catharsis. And here's the year that I've had. And why can't it just be that instead of, ooh, look, he just wants to see his mentions?
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
And now let's welcome in. We're going to talk some NBA.
Yeah.
Switch gears. with Ryan Hollins, a friend of ours, the 10-year NBA vet, who is the color analyst on the Houston Rockets game. And Mike, just for your FYI, we had a big steak dinner, steak and lobster dinner down in Houston this past, during the season, right? And let's welcome in Ryan Hollins to the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What up, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
You picked up that check too, right?
You know what?
You mean me?
No, I wasn't. No, not you.
Hey, you know, hey, I'm not gonna blow my own toot my own horn, but I did pick up the check, Ryan, didn't I?
Yeah, I was going to say there's somebody who's doing quite well over there.
Well, he's dominating. Well, you know that.
It's someone doing quite well. You're sleeping on, man.
Man,
Rob Parker.
There you go.
He's on that Huel bet of money, you know, like in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't know. It's just because I got 9 jobs, Ryan.
That's
you know
okay.
That.
The hustle is real.
Yes. All right. So, Ryan, so much happening over All-Star weekend and whatnot. I just want to get your take. So did you the LeBron interview with Kenny Smith from TNT proclaiming he's the GOAT. What do you make of that? Is that his place to say he's the GOAT, or should other people say that?
Of course it's his place to say that. Why not? No, Michael Jordan says it. Go ask Michael Jordan what he thinks of himself. He's not going to say, man, I'll leave it up to your opinion now. He may say that to the public behind closed doors. He's saying that he
I've never seen a tape of Michael Jordan saying he was the GOAT. I mean, you'd have to show me that tape.
Listen, man. Listen. There's no question that you know Michael Jordan feels that way about himself, as he should. So we shouldn't have a problem when LeBron does it. And then and Rob Parker, you know better. You know darn well better than to think that Michael Jordan doesn't feel that way about himself.
I said I've never heard him say it. There's a big difference with feeling confidently, and you saw the crowd response. Who got the biggest response, Ryan, at the All-Star weekend? Was it LeBron James, who's from Cleveland, Akron, or was it Michael Jordan?
Listen, it doesn't matter. You've heard Michael say it in enough ways. You probably heard Kobe Bryant say it in a matter of ways. We miss him. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You can't have problems when LeBron says it. He can crown himself. He can believe in himself. If LeBron is like, I don't think I'm that good. Like, we would have a problem. You should.
You don't have to say that, Ryan.
Yes, you can.
And let me tell you this. This is the problem I have. I only recognize one king in the United States, and that's Burger King. So I'm not with that.
Home of the Whopper. And that brought the crowd to a halt, and a number of one-liners just all over the place, wherever you are across America. Ryan, good to have you with us. All-Star break, the final quarter of the season upcoming. What's been the biggest surprise for you this year?
Ooh, biggest surprise this year. I'm going to probably have to throw out a couple. One, I didn't see James Harden wanting out again.
There you go. That's a big one. I agree with
that
you.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have seen that coming. Cleveland, like, oh, my goodness. Like, it's just an amazing story going over there on in Cleveland. So much that, you know, obviously you just spoke about LeBron. There may be rumblings. There are rumblings of saying that, you know, he may want to go back and finish up in Cleveland.
Garland said beat it. Right. We're doing just fine.
That's fine. Of course, it sounds.
If LeBron can talk about being a GOAT, the young guy can say we don't need you.
Yeah, just the same way that Bruce Arians said that Antonio Brown would never play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that he did. So
hey, life changes, you know.
You know, but in all reality, I think those are huge shocks. I think the Bulls' success, a little bit you could see it, but how successful they've been, a bit of a shock there. I don't think anyone saw the Lakers being this bad.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, I mean, we inevitably
we
had
agree
to get
with
there.
That, Ryan. Like yeah. I didn't
but
think it was a fit.
Injuries are a thing too, so we kind of saw the injuries, but we thought they'd work through it, right, Rob?
Right. It has been worse than I thought, and even with the numbers LeBron has put up, he doesn't impact winning like he used to. If he years ago, if he were putting up these numbers, you would win games, and he puts up great numbers, and they still don't win. What is that?
They don't defend. If you go back and look at LeBron's teams historically, he's gotten his numbers, and he's had a group of guys around him that play defense. And the Lakers have gotten to a point where they say, hey, you know, we want to, you know, catch up with the trend of the three-point shooting and do all that. And we want to get up and down, and we want to push our pace. And the Lakers' pace is excellent. Their offensive rating is excellent. It's probably the highest it's been in years, but defensively is where they struggled. And if you think about that championship they won, and everybody was so tired of Danny Green and this and that, but guess what? That team defended, and they were able to win championships because of it. So the Lakers came out with a different approach. They said, we're going to score the basketball, and it's a disaster. So they can't get stops now. But the biggest difference, to answer your question, is that LeBron's teams had defenders around them. So when he got to average around 27-7-7, the pace of the game was much, much slower, and you saw a much larger impact on what was happening in the basketball game.
Philadelphia third at the break, 35-23. Joel Embiid has been magnificent. We can go through the thesaurus with all the different words to describe it, Ryan. Is he going to be celebrating the arrival of James Harden, or is he going to be on the poster of disgruntled former teammates when this ends?
No, he's going to have to be excited, because essentially, no disrespect to Steph Curry, but you swapped out Steph Curry for James Harden, you know? So by any means, you know, that should be an upgrade there. Or if James Harden just wants to be a spot-up shooter, he should be able to play that role. So I think Embiid should be ecstatic, and that's still a pretty decent basketball team over there with, you know, Tobias Harris, Court Maz, and, you know, maybe they're not as stacked as when they had a team with Jimmy Butler and all those boys, but James Harden is definitely, you know, you filled a spot where there was literally not a player. You end up getting a player in James Harden, and I don't think the level of intensity that Embiid is playing at, I believe if he stays healthy, he should be the MVP of the NBA this year. You know, you don't expect the same load from James Harden. I'm pretty sure that Philadelphia and Doc Rivers understand that, you know, they're not going to just put the ball in his hands the same way that they did in the past, but they have a guy on the perimeter that can go out and create a shot when needed, and it's really just a matter of going out and making sure that James is healthy at this point.
Our guest is Ryan Holland, former NBA 10-year vet and current Houston Rockets color TV analyst. And let's talk about Brooklyn and Ben Simmons and how he fits. A lot of people like Ben Simmons because he doesn't have the pressure. If you have Kyrie and you have Durant as the guy shooting and scoring, and Ben obviously with big body and can defend and a playmaker, how does he fit if they have all three of those guys playing in a game? Is that good for Brooklyn?
This should be a golden scenario, and I'm pointing to a guy on the West Coast, which is working out really well for him, Andrew Wiggins, who's the first-time All-Star. Andrew Wiggins gets to play a comfortable role of the third or fourth scorer on the team. You know, you'll see games where Jordan Poole will be more aggressive than Andrew Wiggins, but Andrew Wiggins, you know, just keeps playing consistent basketball. And I think that Ben Simmons, at the end of the day, may be more comfortable as a third or fourth option or a defender. And now that you're not playing with Joel Embiid, the paint ends up being wide open. He might be their power forward or center, to be honest, guys. And that's not that shabby, because Kevin Durant, 7 feet tall when he comes back and he's healthy. So, you know, I think this is an excellent move and opportunity for Ben Simmons. And I think that even if you say, hey, like let's just play the odds. Hey, Ben Simmons, you know, doesn't develop the jump shot. You know, he kind of is who he is. And if he is the same player that he was, I think that's extremely effective and something that Brooklyn really needed was to get younger. And obviously, I think it's a win on both sides. It's one of the rare trades. You know, we can't really debate who really won the trade, essentially, because you just add a player into the NBA that we didn't have. And Ben Simmons was sitting out, unfortunately, but I think it's a win for everybody to see him in a uniform.
All right, there we go. We thank you for the knowledge. We appreciate you, as
you
always, Ryan.
Me,
and we'll
Stop
see you
down.
What's that?
Stop it, Rob. You don't
what?
Appreciate
wow.
me, man.
I do appreciate you. How could you say that, man?
Mike appreciates me, but you don't, man.
I do. When I came to Houston, I made it my business to see you down there, didn't I?
That's huge.
You did.
He's a man of the people, Ryan. You know that.
Hey, when we went out, everybody in the restaurant, hey, Ryan, they came over to him and said, hey, I'm loving you on the broadcast. I mean, I just felt like a peon. I was just sitting there.
Did you have to take a bunch of pictures?
You know, they were like, is that your drunk uncle at the table?
Wow.
With Ryan, you know?
Now you should have played the role. That would have been interesting.
That was it. Hey, Ryan Hollins, we appreciate you here on the Dan Patrick Show.
See you, buddy.
Well. That was so funny. All right, it is the Dan Patrick Show. Rob Parker, Mike Harmon filling in for Dan and the Danettes.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters. Every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.